BillPod.com. The Week in Georgia. In English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight, the cultural capital of the Bay Area. Today is the 9th of November, 2017. On this date in 694, Edica, king of the Visigoths in Hispania, accuses Jews of aiding Muslims and sentences all Jews to slavery at the 17th Council of Toledo. 959, Byzantine Emperor Constantine VII dies in Constantinople at the age of 54, most likely poisoned by his son or daughter-in-law. 1918, the flag of Azerbaijan is adopted during the Azerbaijan Democratic Republic's 23 months of existence. This day is now celebrated in Azerbaijan as Flag Day. 1923, the beer hall push ends in Munich. 16 Nazis and 4 police officers die. Hitler is arrested 2 days later, gets a national platform, goes to jail, and writes Mein Kampf. 1953, Cambodia gains independence from France. 1967, the first issue of Rolling Stone magazine is published in San Francisco. Lead story is about the Monterey Pop Festival. 1970, Charles de Gaulle dies at 80 of a ruptured blood vessel. His funeral is the largest in French history. 1989, the East German government announces that citizens may travel to West Berlin, bringing about the fall of the Berlin Wall. 2016, Donald Trump is elected president of the United States of America. Yikes. Birthdays are Russian realist writer Ivan Turgenev in 1818, Russian futurist poet Velimir Khlebnikov in 1885, Austrian-American actress and inventor Hedy Lamarr in 1914, and British journalist and historian Alistair Horne in 1925. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tvlpod.com or send us an email at tvlpod, T-V-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. In the Just What We Need file, Otsneba has initiated another round of constitutional amendments, this time aiming to incorporate the recommendations of the Venice Commission. If their amendments pass, parties will be allowed to form blocs in the 2020 election. The bonus system of redistributing parliamentary seats to the winner will be removed, and language providing constitutional grounds for restricting freedom of faith, confession, and conscience will be taken out. Constitutional Court will be able to rule on election-related norms that were implemented up to 15 months before the election unconstitutional, and will be able to rule elections unconstitutional with just a simple majority. Parliament has also set up a commission for national public dialogue related to the amendments, though the only parties represented are Otsneba and the Alliance of Patriots, as the United National Movement and European Georgia refused to participate. Parliament will vote on the amendments in December and complete the process in the spring of 2018. So they passed the recent ones as a way to say up yours to the president and everybody else, and to have the currently worse constitution on the books so they can threaten not to pass these, which are clearly better and what the president and the Venice Commission and everybody else in the world have been saying, unless people behave. Super adult. Thanks a lot, guys. Parliament met to discuss the revised budget on the 3rd of November and has until the 16th to resubmit it to the government, which will then submit a final draft back to Parliament by the 30th. Both revenue and expenditures have gone up in the revised draft. The Ministry of Agriculture will receive an additional 10 million lari to combat the brown marmorated stink bug, bringing total anti-stink bug funds to 14 million lari. Ministry of Culture and Monument Protection will receive an additional 14.5 million lari. Foreign Ministry will get 4 million. Ministry of Health will receive an extra 1 million lari. Ministries of Education, Environmental Protection, and Sport will get 3 million more than in the original draft. Members of the opposition critiqued the budget for not increasing social allowances or pensions. Minister of Finance Dmitry Kumsishvili responded by saying that Otsneba plans to increase pensions in 2019 and 2020, not in 2018, meaning closer to the next parliamentary elections. Interesting that they're saying that the opposition is saying that they should increase pensions, because one thing that's not clear is, considering there's so little information about LEPLs, legal entities of public law, which Otsneba is increasingly using as a cash distribution mechanism to people that favor it politically, it's difficult to keep track of that, and it'll be interesting to see how much of this money is going out to LEPLs, particularly the Ministry of Cultural and Monument Protection, which has quite a number of them. Ukrainian police detained the former chief of Georgia's military police department, Megis Kardava, last week. Pre-extradition proceedings have begun. Kardava has been wanted by Georgia since 2013 for a number of criminal charges, including torture, threats of torture, humiliating and inhumane treatment, illegal depravity, deprivation of liberty, sexual actions committed through violence. He was tried and found guilty in absentia in cases related to a 2006 prison riot that left 7 Tbilisi prisoners dead. The Navluhi special operation where 3 men were shot near a bus station, videos of sexual abuse and torture of prisoners, and 2 other occurrences. 4 more cases are pending. Kardava left Georgia in 2012 after Otsneva came to power. It's very important that Kardava, if he is extradited, get a fair trial, as everyone deserves. But word around the block is he's an incredible scuzzball. In another case against former UNM officials, Tbilisi City Court found Goga Oniani, UNM political council member, defense attorney, guilty of multiple charges, including exceeding his powers while serving as deputy chief of Tbilisi's Guldani Nadzaladevi Police Department, fabricating evidence, political persecution, and illegal detention. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison. The term has been reduced to 4 years and 6 months. The prosecution says that Oniani illegally detained 2 people working for a 2011 Otsneva advertising campaign, fabricated evidence against them with the intention of interfering with Otsneva's political activities and intimidating UNM opposition. Oniani's defense lawyer called the ruling absolutely illegal and politically motivated, which it certainly is, although it is politically motivated, although that doesn't mean he didn't do those things. I have no idea. European Georgian members also spoke out against the ruling, calling it revenge, political reprisals, and describing Oniani as a political prisoner. Oniani plans to appeal the decision. Although, keep in mind, UNM did that stuff all the time. So, I'm not saying that it's okay if it is political, but, let's watch the case carefully. Euronest Parliamentary Assembly met from the 30th of October to the 1st of November, bringing together members of the European Parliament, parliaments of the Eastern Partnership countries. Euronest PA is intended to facilitate political exchange between the EU and Eastern Partnership countries and to work on international issues like the environment, energy, and terrorism. Several resolutions were adopted, including one on the future of Eastern Partnership. The resolution blames Russia for ongoing aggression towards partner countries and discusses a number of other strategic issues. Another specifically condemns the deteriorating human rights situation in Transnistria, Abkhazia, South Ossetia, Crimea, and the Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts in Ukraine. European Parliament will vote next week on reports of recommendations related to the upcoming Eastern Partnership Summit in Brussels. The European Parliament addresses a number of ways to deepen EU relations with Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. The text says that the EU should take a more active role in conflict resolution in the regions and specifically addresses Russian aggression and the need to fully implement the 2008 ceasefire agreement between Russia and Georgia. It also notes that association agreements are not the end goal, asks other European institutions to acknowledge the Eastern Partnership countries' European aspirations, and requests the establishment of a trust fund for Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova. European Georgia MP Gigi Tzedatelli has become acting president of the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly after the previous president stepped down. Tzedatelli was first elected to Georgia's parliament in 1999, was first elected to the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly vice presidency in 2012. Council of Europe issued a report on conflict in Georgia between April and September 2017. The Council Secretariat was not permitted access to South Ossetia and Abkhazia because they're chicken and was thus unable to assess the situation from those places. As a result, the report is based on previous reports, discussions with Georgian authorities, and information from international and Georgian NGOs. The report describes the situation on the ground as relatively calm and stable, but the Council is concerned by the humanitarian situation of communities affected by the conflicts. Regarding Abkhazia, they specifically noted the recent border crossing closings and residency permits as areas of concern, while in South Ossetia, they are concerned with increasing borderization. 4 NATO ships were in Batumi from the 3rd to the 6th of November, where their crews participated in Georgian-organized joint exercises. Estonian diplomat Tovio Klaar, will be the European Union's special representative for the South Caucasus and the crisis in Georgia at the Geneva International Discussions, made his first public appearance last week addressing the OSCE Permanent Council. Previously served as the head of the EU monitoring mission in Georgia from 2013 to 2014. President Georgi Margvelashvili visited Poland this week and met with Polish President Andrzej Duda and other politicians and officials. This is the third time the pair has met in 6 months. maybe indicating expanded relations between the two countries. Defense Minister Levon Izoria will visit Washington, D.C. next week, meet with U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis, among others. Runoff for mayoral elections in Kutaisi, Tazbegi, Khashuri, Borjomi, Ozurgeti, and Martvili will be held on the 12th of November. Otsneba is expected to win all of the races based on the results of the first round. However, in Borjomi, Otsneba's Levon, the party received 40.35% of the votes to the Alliance of Patriots' Zaza Chachanidze's 40.15, a difference of only 0.2 percentage points. And in Ozurgeti, Otsneba's Beglar Sioridze led independent Konstantin Shadashanidze by only 1.49 percentage points. Kutaisi and Martvili runoffs will both be formalities, as UNM candidates running there have unofficially withdrawn. Also on the 12th, the newly elected mayors in 58 municipalities will take office. On the 14th, the first session of the new Tbilisi Sacre-Bulo will convene. State Audit Office released an interim report on campaign finance during the 21st of October elections. A total of 15.3 million lari was donated, 91% of which went to Otsneba. European Georgia received 6.3% of the total, about 950,000 lari. UNM raised a little over 110,000. All the other political parties received less than 100,000. All political parties that cleared the 3% threshold in the last election were eligible for additional state funding. 14 political parties received 7.9 million lari during this election from the state. UNM received a little over 1 million. Otsneba received a little less than 1 million. The remaining 12 parties received between 675,000 and 399,000 lari each. A group of 29 non-governmental organizations released a statement expressing concern over recent developments with the Georgian public broadcaster. They mentioned nepotistic hiring practices, including the appointment of Bidzina's associates to key positions, including the mass hiring of former Georgian Dream Studio staff. Another issue was the recent award of a lighting contract to Bidzina's son Beda's company. They also note that GPB has become less critical of the government and pulled some political programming. The NGOs are also concerned by a June parliamentary proposal that significantly reduces GPB's transparency and openness, increases the powers of GPB management, weakens the Board of Trustees, creates risk of sham deals, and deteriorates employee protection mechanisms. All of this is exactly what Vasiko Mahlaparidze was hired in order to do. Members of the ultranationalist Georgian March group protested outside of the Rustavi 2 building in Tbilisi last Saturday. The protest was a reaction to a recent episode of the show Other Accents, which discussed homophobia in Georgia and the ongoing hullabaloo over Guram Khashia's rainbow armband. The Georgian March protesters threw live chickens and set off fireworks. Four were arrested. From now on, please refer to that whole group in conversation as the Chicken Chuckers. Inspectors will start patrolling Tbilisi's underground walkways and will later be replaced by cameras. The company Tbil Service Group, which is currently responsible for Tbilisi's waste management, street lighting, and maintenance of the passageways, is working with the Ministry of Interior on the project. This announcement came after Mayor-elect Kahi Kaladze visited an underground passage, complained about the darkness and bad smells, and told the company they had 10 days to create a solution to the problem. Also in Tbilisi, the Rije Nadikala cableway will be closed from the 10th until the 27th for maintenance work. The maintenance was pre-scheduled when the cableway reached 22,500 hours of operation. A partly exploded ammunitions depot near Gori has been cleared after 3 years of work. The land has been handed over to the municipality to be developed for recreational use. The work was done by NATO-trained Georgian soldiers and co-financed by Lithuania and the Czech Republic. Two Georgian citizens detained while crossing the South Ossetian ABL earlier this week have been released after several days in jail and paying fines of 2,000 rubles each, which is $34. Georgian Russian Orthodox churches are considering starting a working group for church affairs in Abkhazia. The initiative was announced after a meeting between Ilya II, Patriarch of the Georgian Orthodox Church, and Metropolitan Hilarion of Voloklamansk in Tbilisi last week. Abkhazia is a canonical territory of the Georgian Church, but it has not had much of a role there since the 93 war. Instead, two breakaway Abkhaz Orthodox Church organizations are active, though neither is recognized by the Russian or Georgian churches. Between January and September of this year, 384 people have died in car crashes in Georgia. 581 died in total in 2016. This rate is one of the highest in Europe and Central Asia, twice the EU average. However, fatalities have been declining since the introduction of seatbelt regulations in 2008, even though that law is increasingly ignored because tickets are much less frequent than they were. Georgia ranked 9th in the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business report and 1st in the Emerging Europe category. The top two countries for doing business are New Zealand and Singapore, while the bottom two are Somalia and Eritrea. Ranking looks at a number of different things, including ease of starting a business, construction permits, property registrations, taxes, and contract enforcement. Silk Road Group has announced plans to build a silk tower in Batumi with financial backing from the Georgian Co-Investment Fund. The project will include a yacht club, adjacent residential buildings, a casino, a hotel, and other facilities. Construction is expected to start in 2019 and cost $250 million. Also in Batumi, funded by a fund related to GCF, a new cableway will connect the botanical gardens to the coast, replacing one constructed in the 1980s that has been defunct for over 25 years. Georgian Irma Khatsoudiani won a gold medal at the Wheelchair Fencing World Championships in Rome this week. She and another Georgian, Nina Tbilashvili, will compete in other events as the tournament runs through the 12th. As many of you know, the best bar in Tbilisi is Dive Bar, now in two glorious locations, one in Lower Tatsminda, one in Fabrika. Over the bar in the older Divier location, there was for many years a Don't Tread on Me flag, beloved of the befuddled, divisive white nationalists in the United States. It wasn't there for any particular reason, it just got put up at some point, but now we are delighted to report it has been replaced by a Doug flag, which is the flag of Cascadia, the area in Oregon, Washington State, and British Columbia between the Pacific Ocean and the Cascade Mountains. It looks like a Lebanese flag with stripes, but it is not a cedar. It is a Douglas fir. So head on by the Dive Bar in Lower Tatsminda, knock back a tall cold one, and toast the flag with the traditional Cascadia toast of Think Globally, Act Locally. Send us selfies and we will shout out. Washington, D.C.'s first Georgian restaurant, Supra, opened on the 7th. The restaurant serves khachapuri and khengali in traditional and experimental versions. Anybody who goes there, let us know your thoughts. Bjork had a magical time in Georgia last week after two performances, visiting several regions, exploring Georgian music. She also wore a floral headpiece during one concert designed by Georgian Irma Sharikadze. Mean this week is a collection of photographs from British Vogue of Tbilisi street style during last week's Tbilisi Fashion Week, featuring large coats, weird eyewear, and all sorts of other nutty outfits. I never really saw anybody looking like that floating around Tbilisi, but check it out. Stuff to read on the 7th of November was the 10th anniversary of a Saakashvili-era political crisis that ended with 508 protesters hospitalized after being dispersed by police. Imedi TV shut down in the middle of a broadcast and a promise of early elections. Agenda.ge published a brief article with a basic overview of the events of 2007 and some pictures to mark the day. OC Media tried to look into the backers of the Georgian Co-Investment Fund, currently funding the Tbilisi Panorama Project and the new Batumi Silk Tower, but they found that it was somewhat impossible. They specifically wanted to know about the depth of the connection between Otsneba and the GCF. Some of the GCF's money comes from Bidzina, but how much is not known? OC Media looked at a number of affiliated companies, people from Luxembourg to Panama, but concluded that nothing more could be discovered without more openness from Bidzina and a few other known associates. A lot of countries, including the United States, are moving forward with beneficial ownership laws. Be great if Georgia would do the same thing, particularly considering, and let us not forget, that Georgia is currently hosting the chair of the Open Government Partnership. Caucus's survey published a series of articles on taking partly free voters seriously, autocratic response to voter preferences in Armenia and Georgia. The Caucus's Research Resource Center posted a brief overview of the articles and their findings, which look at Armenian and Georgian political processes, why the Saakashvili regime failed, impact election fraud, the impact of election fraud, and a number of other interesting things. Meeting in Geneva, September, South Caucasian, South Ossetian officials expressed concern that the Luger Center in Tbilisi was causing outbreaks of non-typical pandemic diseases. Luger Center is this big bio lab that was set up in Georgia over many years. Unfortunately, nobody's ever written about how ridiculous it was being set up, how corrupt. It was set up by the Pentagon and took forever, total mess. But anyway, it finally got set up and exists. And the Ossetians are saying that there's these weird pandemic diseases going into South Ossetia, which is not real. Russian officials also previously suggested that the U.S. might be spreading Zika-infected mosquitoes in Abkhazia and that the Luger Lab is a secret U.S. military facility, which it isn't really. The Luger Center is a World Health Organization-affiliated laboratory open to international scientists focused on disease prevention and public health. Polygraph.info, a publication of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and Voice of America, published a fact-checking piece that found the claims false, quoted a number of Georgian and non-Georgian officials saying the claims related to the lab and biological weapons were lies. Luger Center is Georgia's national repository for especially dangerous pathogens and the only biosafety level 3 facility in the Caucasus. The whole idea of setting it up and the reason the Pentagon did it at vast taxpayer expense rather than USAID or somebody else was that Georgia had a lot of military biologists floating around, and rather than having them hoovered up by the North Koreans and Iranians, the idea was to give them a place where they could make a normal salary and do some useful research and that sort of thing, which was set up. I think now it's not particularly secret. Chaykhana also released a short film featuring a Georgian farmer that lives very close to the South Ossetian border. The farmer depicted find the border fence useful because they no longer get arrested and fined for accidentally crossing, but hope for a day when they can tear down the fence and reuse it to mark their gardens. They have fond memories of Skhinvali and Ossetian friendships, and they would like to renew them. Chaykhana wrote about life in the village of Akhal Samgori outside of Rustavi. In 2011, a waste disposal facility was built close to the village, and now when the wind blows through, an acrid smell permeates the air, and plastic bags and other trash fly off the landfill into town. The village does not have safe drinking water or enough water to farm successfully. The waste facility has further polluted the area. Lens Culture posted a series of photographs of Sukhumi titled Sukhum Divers by Anton Polyakov and Anya Gelatnova, two photographers that grew up in Transnistria. The photographers believe that journalists and photographers often don't take self-proclaimed territories like Abkhazia and Transnistria seriously, instead viewing them as curiosities and endlessly describing them with the same cliches. The series, which is true, although it is hard to take Transnistria seriously. This series focuses on how youth in Sukhumi have moved past the Soviet Union that they never experienced, using Soviet relics by the sea to entertain themselves with no regard for their history. All that stuff to read, post on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 19, the number of feet one can walk through a tunnel leading from Laurenti Beria's old Tbilisi home before it's blocked by a cement wall. Announcements from the 9th to the 12th, Tbilisi is home to the Tbilisi Book to Tbilisi Book Days, which will involve a number of different events, lectures, seminars, book presentations, opportunities to meet authors, children's activities, and book exhibitions. A book fair will be held at Expo Georgia from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day. Many Georgian publishers will be there. Go check it out if you can. On the 10th at 1600, that's 4 p.m., Caucasian House in Tbilisi is showing the documentary film Gverd, or Side by Side, about two adjacent villages in Marnauli, one Azerian, one Armenian. A discussion will follow. On the 11th at 4 p.m., the Georgian National Museum is hosting a lecture, presumably in Georgian, by Gia Bukhadzia, entitled Caravaggio, Man and Epic. Also on the 11th, Georgian-Canadian rugby teams play each other in Tbilisi at the Dinamo Arena at 1800. On the 16th, the British Georgian Society is hosting Discover Galaktion, featuring a talk on the Georgian poet Galaktion Tavidze, a recitation of some of his works, and presentation of a new collection of his works, and wine. Event is in London at Asia House. Save the date for the American Friends of Georgia Christmas Gala on Saturday, the 9th of December in Tbilisi. The event is raising funds for the renovation of the Zegvi shelter to protect vulnerable children, abandoned elderly people, handicapped adults, orphan children, and single mothers. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with 1999, Whitney Houston's redo of a great reggae song, My Love Is Your Love.
If tomorrow is judgment day,
sing, mommy,
and I'm standing on the front line, and the Lord asks me what I did with my life, I will say, I spent it with you. If I wake up in World War III, I see destruction and poverty, and I feel like I wanna go home. It's okay if you're coming with me. It's
say,
really, no matter,
I'll be waiting for you after the judgment day.